Welcome, all you monstrous people.
Hi, dear.
Yeah, have you ever been to Human Spain Mark?
Me?
Yep.
Yep.
Did you like it?
Oh, I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
All right, cool. Because the next we'll go around is going to be here in Spokane around the 1st of December. End of November, 1st of December. And I highly recommend that those in this area, at least, and hey, you know what, Steve, you used to have roots here. You might as well have 10 or 15 of your own people going.
That's what I think.
Wasn't there one last weekend?
There was, and I got a chance to eat in it.
Really? Cool. Were Melanie and Dean there?
Yeah, they were.
Yay!
Are they here tonight?
I don't hear them.
Have you been talking to them lately?
I have.
And are they planning to be a part of this call?
You know, I didn't... I was remiss. I did not say, are you going to be on the call?
Well...
But this is now week three they've missed.
Would you take just a moment, step out and give them a ring and get that squarely confirmed?
I'll do that. I'll be back.
All right, great. Brad, are you with us this week? I had a note from Brad last week that his grandmother apparently was either gravely ill or passed away while they were at the family reunion back in Minnesota. Wanted to be with us desperately, but was unable. So I don't know what the disaster train is that's happening to this squad, but knock it off, guys.
Isn't that the truth?
I had a wonderful opportunity to spend 3 days with the Diamonds over at the Diamond Summit at Dennis and Ruth Williams.
I heard your name mentioned Saturday morning.
Oh, it was on Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to be on that call and I lost the number and I couldn't get it because I don't have Lance or Vance's cell number.
You need to call me.
At home, he was still up there.
Yeah, you need to call me. I'll tell you.
Do you have Vance's cell number?
Sure.
Jeez. You have everybody's numbers, huh?
Just the important people.
Man, you're the hub. And then we'll find out. Because we've got so many talented people here. They've kind of... They got their motor scooters going the wrong way on a one-way street here.
And mine was going that way also last week, but as I was telling Debbie, I...
Fred?
Debbie's back.
Oh, okay.
I got a hold of Melanie. She was on the other Pathfinder's call with Dave Johnson tonight.
I didn't know there was one.
Oh, yeah, he was on one of the Pathfinders. I can't tell you which one. Maybe it was a Texas call.
Oh, yeah, it probably was a Texas call.
Yeah, I listened to him for about 55 minutes. And then I got on this one. And she said their phone was dead, but yes, they want to be a part of this. So...
We would hope to see them here in a few minutes then.
Oh, we would hope so.
Well, thanks for doing that.
You betcha.
All right, this is all about being together, and I think that one of the key words is volume. Developing volume. And so we'll check out our particulars and our details. I'm not sure where Brad is. As I've mentioned before, Brad has been back on a family vacation back in the Midwest, and apparently last week there were a couple of things that went kind of big sour, and one of them was that Grandma was either gravely ill or died, so right around the time of the call. But he wanted to be on the call anyway, and something that phone connection, so I'm surprised that I don't hear him this week. Hopefully things are better for him. So, hey, you know what? The mission gets carried on by as many people as still have the paper. Do you all play Capture the Flag at one point in your life?
I don't know what that is.
How about you, Steve? Steve went on a break, too. So, Debbie doesn't know.
Debbie doesn't know.
With all your vast worldly...
No, I have no idea. I was kind of a sheltered life.
Well, that you probably had your daughter playing Capture the Flag, right?
I have no idea. She's not on the call, is she?
Uh-huh.
The first that one.
She was a minute ago.
Was she? Did we, like, lose everybody?
I guess so.
I'm here. I just set the phone down.
Is that Steve?
Yeah.
Well, we did lose you for a second.
Yeah, I put the phone down and we'll go grab my stuff.
Oh, okay. Steve, have you ever played Capture the Flag?
Oh, probably about 30 years ago.
Well, one of the rules you can do in Capture the Flag is you run across the other team's line. And sometimes, if you're the one that captures the flag, you can pass it off to other people to get it through to the end across the line. Remember that? Let's describe the game for Debbie. Debbie, what you do is you take a bunch of kids out into the forest.
Okay.
And you got this road that's maybe a trail that's running down in between two sides of the forest, so it kind of splits it in half. Then you take somebody's hat or shirt or some kind of a visible flag, and you put it out in the woods, one on each side. The other team tries to get across and capture that flag and get back across the line without getting tagged. And if they get tagged, they get sent to jail. There's another little section sent over there by the jail. Well, their teammates are making all kinds of strategies and trying to rush the flag, and some of them will sneak around behind, and some will do so. It's a fun game for kids. And what happens is a lot of times you can, if you get one person across the line, they get all the way to the jail. Whoever they tag before they get tagged gets free. They all get a free walk back. And capture the flag, it means you grab the flag and you start heading back for your own territory. And if you run fast enough to get back across the line, then you win. You could, if someone was coming up on you real strong, pass it off to another player. That person can run for it. If they get captured, just before they get captured, they pass it off to another player. And so you can relay it back across the line.
Okay.
So what we did is, in this Pathfinder group, you now are the ones who still have the flag heading for the finish line. The deal is, we go with whoever gets across the line. So, Deb, how close are you getting on volume? Do you think you're back in the game again this month?
No.
What's your total volume for if we add them all up?
This month?
Oh, no, for the 4 months running.
Oh. Oh, Jerry, I got to say it's like 13,000.
What do you look like for your seniors in place?
I have all the seniors.
Well, did you know you need 8 of them?
I got them.
Okay, so you're good there.
I have 5 first line and 3 underneath them.
What was the volume last month?
It was 9,300.
Okay. So one of the key strategies is really pulling volume. Right, everybody?
Yep.
Yes.
So we're going to really take a look at how do we get those volumes taken care of. Who just joined us? Is that Dina Melody? So we just got the two of you? Okay. What we're going to look at then first is, I'll take Deb. Do you know where your daughter is?
I don't.
I thought she was on this call. Didn't you, Steve?
I thought she was here.
I was talking to Debbie earlier.
Oh, just Debbie. Okay, well, I thought... Okay. Well, my hearing, it is a familial...
It's a familial thing. By the way, just so you know, I will not be on next week. We're going to be on an Alaska cruise.
Oh, a Nikan Alaska cruise?
Actually, we're not the Nikan one. We have one booked.
Have you ever been before?
No.
Well, but you have a marvelous crew.
You know, we used to live on a sailboat, so we've been up part of the way.
Wow. Live on a sailboat. You guys had a rough life, huh?
It's been tough, dear.
Yeah, well, somebody's got to do it.
Okay, so last month I had 9,500, and this month I'm at 36.
Okay, what was the momentum causer last month?
We had me and Melanie signed up Shelly, who had four deep in that one month, and one of the gals bought a lot of product, not a complete wellness home, but a lot of product.
Okay. And with Dean and Melanie, what was the, as they got the catalyst going, there's two questions here then, and wish they were here so we could address it. What caused the start of the momentum, and what caused the momentum to go cold?
Well, I can't answer that question. They signed up one gal who signed up four people. And the, you know, one of her four people were the big person that drove that person, the person that Melanie and Dean signed up, and Melanie and Dean into the senior realm.
In the senior, and you still had 9,000, so they probably were executive, weren't they?
No, I have another executive in Toronto that signed up somebody that had 3,800 in volume, 3,900.
Okay. Now, what's the intent of the people up in Toronto?
My gal in Toronto intends to do this full-time, make it her life.
And this new person she brought on board, was that just a product purchaser, or is she a player?
I think probably just a product purchaser. She hasn't done anything.
And your lovely daughter is... are Dean and Melanie under her?
No, they're under me.
Okay. And she had some things going for a bit here, too.
She's got a couple gals underneath her, and she's working it.
Have you got any other active legs?
No.
Okay, so it's basically three legs so far.
Uh-huh.
All right, this will be good, because we can go through some strategies and some work here to find out how we stay on track to get you to gold.
Yeah.
And so we want to take a look at some numbers, and we want to use our troubleshooting guide as best we can, and really come down to utilizing our tools squarely for the purpose of understanding them and then repeating the process. Because we want to empower you to be able to get a good feel for the organizational mechanism and pass that on to the next generation. With that then, have you ever had a call where you put all three of your leaders together?
No, I haven't.
And when I say that, what do you have any ideas that just sort of pop into your head about what you would do with them if you did get them together?
Oh, God, no. No, it's 7:39, I'm brain dead.
Oh, okay. Steve, what would you do if you were the consultant that was working with this group and I mentioned, hey, what about getting everybody on a call together? What kind of things would come to your mind?
Well, number one, have them introduce themselves to each other and introduce them and tell the group the people's strengths. If I was talking about Debbie, I would tell Debbie's, and introducing Debbie to the group, I would tell Debbie's strengths and what I see that she's doing great and such, and just do that with the whole group, and then let them tell their stories real fast and get them introduced to each other so that they'll want to talk to each other and work together.
Good.
And help each other.
And make themselves aware that they're not so lonely out there in the world.
Right.
So that's a good idea. And all three of them then have really said they want to be fives, right, Deb?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And here we've got a situation where two of them were on this call as fives and start to sort of waywardly wander a little bit.
Yeah.
And not show up for what they're here for.
Uh-huh.
So what we want to do is to find out the reason for that and what can we do to correct it.
Okay.
usually if you had three of those groups that were working toward an end together, they would monitor each other. And as we set up our teams here, our teams, for various reasons, have gone astray. So you're seeing it happen on this call as well as in real life. Is that a bad thing? It is what happens. And so the leadership, the part that really will identify your future growth, is what do you do in these situations to identify what we need to change, change it, and bring the thing back into order again. So you called up, they were listening to Dave, but it sounds like we've just gotten a sort of a bent perspective here. Those calls are archived.
Right.
So being there at the moment is maybe not nearly so important as picking it up later, because this call is not. And so we've got the same thing going on here that we have in your group, and that is not a synergistic pull among the group to get anywhere. Here's something that we've done before, and this is what launched Tina in our area to go gold with four platinum or four silvers. Started out once a week telephone call with the leaders who had intended to be fours and fives. This works better if you use an upline person. Let's say, for example, Steve is your upline.
Okay.
And Steve calls a call for you to all meet on a conference bridge. And the purpose is, Steve's going to say, all right, we want all of you to utilize every aspect that you can for your own personal group development. You're going to learn how to use crossline. You're going to learn how to use the strength of upline. And you're going to learn how to set goals and parameters and achieve them as a group. Because if you do that, if as a group you can accomplish something, then you've got that, you can stuff in your belt and say, all right, we walked this path, we can do it again. The purpose of this is to get, since Debbie's already a silver, we want you all to watch how a gold is made. And then we would say to each one of them, okay, Melanie and Dean, do you want to go silver? When do you want to go silver? And let's take a look at working backwards from that to determine how much energy and effort you have to put into this to meet some specific historical numbers. We know pretty much how many numbers we have to see in order for that to happen. And then Becky, same thing. And then Toronto, same thing. What you do is everybody has a piece of paper out, and they're getting an idea of how those groups are built. So then, Debbie, what we would do is we'd say, okay, Dean and Melanie, let's lay your group out on paper so that Toronto can hear this as well. There are four people there. How many of them are intending to be fours and fives? Well, there might be one. Okay, and the other two, what are they? Or the other three? Well, there are two threes and a two or something. Great, got that down. How much volume is currently in the hopper this month? We may have maybe only $400 here and $300 over there. But you're sort of schematically filling it out. Making sense so far?
Yeah.
Then we go to Becky and say, Becky, how many people are in your group and where do they stand right now? How many of those are fours and fives? Who wants to build a business? Then we go to Toronto. What do you got right now? Then we would say, okay, here's the sum totals as we look across the board. That means that, Dean and Melanie, you need this many seniors and this much volume. Becky, you need this much. And Toronto, you need this much. Now, if you were to do that weekly, First off, they hear their names. Secondly, they know they can interact with each other. And third, they don't want to have their name listed as being stagnant. So then you can ask them is, how many appointments have each of these people made? Because that's the one thing we can control is the number of appointments. once we get the number of appointments down, then we can look at our statistics on how well those appointments turn into some turnaround.
So these are appointments from their downline?
Yes.
Okay.
Appointments in their downline that will allow them to build toward that silver momentum. Now, does anybody know what the number is that we try to achieve during a given month for a person to go silver?
Oh, I'm sure we've had conversation about it, Jerry.
20 to 30 people and probably about 50 appointments.
Well, we want to have 30 appointments completed to have a strong $20,000 group from flat-foot at zero. So 30 appointments during a month. So if it was all just Becky and she wanted to go during her first month, we'd schedule out one appointment a day on average.
Okay.
If it's Becky and three others that are actually actively working at it, you can see that it would be only two a week for each of those people.
Right.
And we would sit down and be very clear on those numbers, and that's now a goal to shoot at.
Okay.
Second thing we need to do is to be clear on what our objective is. And so we would say, okay, Dean and Melanie, you've got a need for three silvers or three seniors, and because this month racks out the way it is, if all three seniors got their starter pack in one calendar month, we'd have how much volume?
About 6,000.
What's that, Steve?
About 6,000.
Okay.
Well, remember starter pack to get 3,700 in volume because of the doubling of points.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Well, it's 1,760 doubled, so it'd be 3,500 in volume, let's say. And if you had three new seniors, because you had to have three seniors, they don't have a senior yet, do they? Oh, you said one leg went senior.
Yeah, they do have a senior leg.
Just to meet the basic minimums, they would have to, they could get 1,600, 3,500 for each person. They'd have 7,000 total volume. If they had two people that went senior based on getting their startup package. Do they have the Wellness Home starter pack or a completion pack?
No.
Remember that they have to have that in order to go silver. So they'll step up that month, and if it's still within their first 3 months, they'll get double points, but I don't think it is, right?
No, Melanie signed up about a year ago.
Okay, so what they could get would be their points for for just the 1,500. So we'd have 3,000, 6,000, 7,000, 8,500. Now we know, what bonuses have you been running this month?
Come on, Steve, help me out here.
You there, Steve? Well, really, what we're seeing, Deb, is they'll give you 4,000 points free on your way to silver.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's right.
So if we've got 8,500 plus 4, you're at 12,500 for that group already for the month.
Uh-huh.
If they have two people that go senior.
Right.
And if you got 12,500, you're in shouting distance. You got to run it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would definitely.
So then what we've got to do, it's very important. Here's probably what I'd really like to have people do is take 6 weeks to go silver.
Okay.
I like to have them do 2 weeks of prep in 1 month. And then start with at a flat run when they hit the first of the month. So they might be lining people up, get things ready to go. So anybody that's born in the last part of the month actually has, in my mind, an advantage over somebody who's born in the first part of the month.
Right.
Because then they've got the little bit of running stuff. They get started. They may use their own volume to get running. But that gives them the tools to be able to put stuff on folks going during their hot month, it will be there and shipped and delivered and ready to go before the month ever starts. So then you've got 30 appointments to make. Here's the point that most people get screwed up on. The appointments take too long.
Which is to say?
That means that
make them short and sweet.
Across NECAN, our appointments are taking too long and several things happen as a result. Number one, you only have so much time to be able to do appointments.
Right.
So you curtail your ability. Number two is usually when an appointment takes too long, you're shotgunning and shooting people too much.
Okay.
It means that you don't know what they want. And you just keep trying to throw stuff at them to see if their expression changes. Maybe that's something they want. So
okay.
We've got, if we go too long, there's another problem that occurs, and that is that people are saying, well, I'm so used to not having people return for the second and third phase. I got to get it all done right here, right now. Which in turn guarantees that they won't return for the second and third phase.
Right.
So they get in a catch-22 situation. You see that, Steve?
Yep, I've done that.
So, we go back to using the ABC guide as written. But, as written, if we can get them to pick out key points along the way and talk their way back to you about those key points, they're telling you what they want. The presentation, they actually are giving to themselves, essentially. Their voice is speaking it, their ears hear it, they believe it, they don't balk so much. And you not shotgunning. You're basically hitting them right laser with what they want. So if a 20-minute appointment or a 30-minute appointment can do that, by just following the basic structure of the flip chart, and we do more than that and start answering their questions, here's what happens. They think they're fully informed. They'll ask questions till they believe they're fully informed, and they'll make a decision on partial information.
Yep.
It's usually the wrong decision. So if you can say to them, well, I really planned only to meet with you for 40 minutes, I wanted to adhere to that time, and the next step for you, if you want information and if you want to really go through the information process, is to be at one of these events so you can see it work. It's called a wellness preview or an in-home walkthrough. And in the meantime, you can review this material and you give them a CD.
Got it.
Now, there are two paths that they could go if they came in through the product door, send them to a walkthrough. They came through the business door, for a better word, lack of a better word. I do have a better word for that, though. Let's call it the career path.
The new career path.
Because if you...
the wellness preview, right?
Yeah. If they want to go through the career path, oftentimes if people speak the business route, Steve, what do you think of when you think of business? Just a general term.
Traditional business?
Mm-hmm.
Scarier than heck. Hard to set up, hard to work it, because I've done it.
Okay.
A lot of money up front. Before you've opened the doors, you've spent thousands and thousands of dollars. Yeah, and you just bought yourself an expensive job.
And then, Deb, what do you think about when you hear the word business?
Well, from their perspective,
just your general background, your life, and somebody said, I want you to take a look at a business. What are some of the things you think about?
I think of long hours, total life commitment for the next 10 years.
Now, you see, this is so interesting, because with our prospects, they would give you equally negative if we wanted to get them into sales, right?
Yeah.
So people say, well, sales deal isn't working for leading with the products, so I'll do the business. And when you say that word, it trips a trigger in their head. And that trigger is whatever their own personal perception of business is, but it's usually not good. 24 to 25 times is not good.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to talk about something different, like career paths.
Okay.
Or partnerships. So if we talk about the career path and we send them through and look at the franchise opportunities, if you will, that's a different mindset. And we're going to show you how we put this together to utilize the power of many people getting what they want, and you get to be the recipient of the value of all of that work. So to review, we do the ABC. Could be the flip chart, could be video, whatever. It could be a three-way with an upline, be a sit-down. Then we do, if you want more information, let's go to the wellness preview or the in-home. And then here's the key factor. We're now very aware that the wellness preview can't last longer than 50 minutes.
Right.
Most, no one's attention span is beyond 50 minutes. And anything else we dump in there makes it worse instead of better. Get done with 50 minutes. And we have to control the output of information during that 50 minutes. Give them an overview, a little more in-depth overview. And don't stand around and answer all their questions. We want one more, well, at that point we give them a product experience, and a rollout at that point would be magnificent. Give them the ignition sequence launch video if they want to know more, if they're considering that. Have them review it, and then meet within 24 to 48 hours, and say, based on what you've seen, do you have questions? Let's get down to the questions at this point. If not, and you're ready to go, let's get you rocking, and we'll start your business up. So if we have a general hand on that cycle, then it's just a matter of running the numbers, right?
Yep.
But Deb, if you could get, let's say, Melanie and Dean. Are you on now, Melanie and Dean? Dave, 55 minutes was a half an hour ago. Maybe he's going longer than the normal call. Hard to imagine.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Can't imagine who did that last week. Oh.
So if Melanie and Dean are there, and we'd say, all right, we've now got to kick it in gear, go after seeing people. But if they see that the initial visit is only 30 minutes, and you can do it four times in a row, and it looks remarkably similar, pretty soon they get bored, they ask if they can do it, pass the reins, hope they do the same thing so that their next generation will do the same.
Got it.
And say, Melanie and Dean, if you want to go silver this month real badly, we're going to do, I'll do 6 to 10 of those appointments for you.
Okay.
And you're looking for one or more of those appointments to yield someone who says you can do 6 to 10 with me.
Okay.
And then those, you want to get one that'll yield one person or more that will let you do 6 to 10 with them. Now, if you're doing it the same way all the way through, think of the ramifications. Now, let's say you've got Melanie and Dean, and they're really cranking it up, and they bring you to the 6 to 10, and you do the presentations, you find one to run with, and Melanie and Dean only have one senior. You keep running deep under the second person, and all of a sudden they've got two seniors. Would you be better off assisting them to get their third senior and doing most of the work, or letting them get them?
I think letting them do it.
Right. Best way to let them do it is to keep working deep in the leg you're working on. Go deeper and deeper if they'll let you. And that forces the freak out factor in Melanie and Dean.
Okay.
Now, if the other two groups are kind of watching this layout, they know their shot comes as soon as they make the call that I'll give you some people to go with me on. But we don't park and lay an egg on any one of them.
Got it. Okay.
And so at this point then, do you have a mental picture of being able to go gold within a given time set? Is there a gut level feel yet?
Evidently, I hesitated. There must not be a gut level.
Okay.
But I can see it.
So if you lay it out there with the group of three, here's what's going to be interesting. You won't know who's going to engage and who won't.
Right.
Let's say somebody engages and starts to run with it. That's what you really want, is to inspire the other two groups.
Right.
But if no one goes, if you get one and it's really cracking, but the other two, one of them just kind of chasing shiny things and goes off into the forest somewhere,
uh-huh.
It's not their moment. And so you've got to be pumping pretty hard to get a spare tire. So all the while, it's kind of interesting how we play this, because you'll have enough time to handle three groups at a time, and then you're flat, full out. There's no more time.
Yeah, I can see that.
So one of the old rules of thumb that Dave Stoltzfus used to have, and I really like, is that you start out at 100% of personal prospecting till you find somebody that starts bringing you people. And then you start working down that leg, and now that takes up 30% of your time. So now you spend 70% of your time in personal prospecting.
Right.
Until you find a second group, which eats up 60% of your time, now you're doing 40. And by the time you add the third group, you got 90% of your time building those groups and 10% in personal prospecting. Make sense, Steve?
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about building urgency and what is the thing that creates the momentum. How is momentum created, Steve?
All out massive action, for one, and then with something that's exciting.
When you say all out massive action, what kind of numbers are you talking in your own mind?
Well,
if you were able to do it and we were to erase the bald spot in your brain,
yeah, it
in with hair.
If you're going to want to do it, you're going to have to make 7 to 10 presentations a week.
Okay, and so we're talking in theory right now, because you haven't bought into that proposition for your own group, right?
Right.
And there's a reason for that. There always is. Let's say you're doing 7 to 10 presentations a week in your own group. Here's something that was stated, I think, by Mike DiMuccio, and it was a pretty good point. Momentum is like going on vacation with kids. If you've got a bunch of distributors that are strung out over a long timeline, it'd be like taking a kid that's newborn, a 6-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 18-year-old on a vacation at the same time. Can anybody see a problem in keeping folks interested?
Majorly.
But if you were to take those same four kids and they were 5, 6, 7, and 8, who would have a better time?
That group.
Second group.
Because they're similar in age and have similar interests, right?
Right.
So you want to birth your babies fairly quickly. If you do, you'll have
time.
Yeah. If you do, you'll have a much more likelihood of creating momentum. Now you can artificially, you can have reborn if you've got some new ones and the thing starts flying and somebody because of that sees the picture or their timing comes right, they can reborn any day they want to.
Right.
But they all have to have made the commitment and sunk the spike into the ground and laid down the gauntlet at around the same time. The easiest way to do that is there's a common evil. Y'all see why that would be true? And it's easy to rise up against the common evil. It's obvious what you're after, and it's obvious to every member on the team. And everybody has a common sense of wanting to go after the evil. One of the most difficult things you'll do as a leader is to create as much urgency for the good. Why is that?
Why would you want to do it?
Create urgency in it.
What I've found, one way to create tremendous urgency is to drink the largest big gulp and sit through all 3 hours of the Lord of the Rings movie. That's urgent.
That's urgent.
In creating urgency, if there's a sense, for example, of potential loss, the most common way to create urgency in network marketing, and you can, is to paint a picture that we're on the verge of explosive growth that will create such a wildfire that the people that you normally would contact will likely be in somebody else's organization before you get them. A sense of fear of loss, because people will far sooner react to a fear of loss than they ever will for the potential for gain. One of the old network marketing trainers put it like this. He said, if you're laying in bed at night and you got a real fancy car and let me think, how did he go? He said, basically, that headlights don't cost very much. You ever buy any, Steve?
Yep. Yeah, I know the story.
They're always, it's surprising how little they cost. But if I'm trying to think of the, I had the scenario there for a second, so Steve, help me out on the
if somebody called you up and said, if you'll get out of bed, I'll give you $20 or something like that, but you have to do it right now, and the person will say, it's late, I'm not going to get up, I'm not going to do that. But if you call them up and say, hey, somebody's going down the street, down your street, knocking the headlights out of everybody's cars, you better get out there and move your car. You'll be out of bed in a second.
And the interesting point is that the headlight will cost far less than what they were going to leave under or to give you at the door.
Right.
So people will, the sense of loss is greater in people than the sense of gain. And so one of the things that people can, when you start getting a feeding frenzy going within your group, let's say you've got those three groups, they start to do it for your purposes or the team's purposes more than their own. For example, you set it out there and say, by August 15th, one of the three of you will have taken this thing on and started making appointments like crazy, and we will put all of the power we can muster toward getting this that one group to silver
okay.
by August 15th. And then you stand back and watch them fight over it. Who wants to be first, if you will?
This leadership stuff's hard.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though. It makes it a lot more fun. You don't get bored. That's one way.
I have a coaching background.
You do now. You raised a child, for heaven's sake.
That was easy.
And then the second way of creating urgency is, I love the way Wolfgang did it. He basically said, we need to get this on the map, and we need to get it on the map quickly. The urgency really was, all of us could basically spend a lifetime trying to get this off the ground, but it's really much easier to build fast than it is to build slow. In fact, probably would never get the momentum if you build it slow. So we're going to be putting together a team that can move 70 million mattresses into the country of Germany, and we want to have that infrastructure in place so that it could be done in 5 years. If we could really, you know, once we get it done, we want to be able to handle that growth. It was a cause, and it was measurable, and it was something that people were shooting at. So that group kind of bellied up to the bar, and they closed the door, and they came up with a group goal. But before they did it, he put them through a really interesting maneuver at a ropes course. And I've used this example a number of times before. Steve's listened to my calls. So, Steve, what's the example?
You know, I can't remember. I apologize.
Do you remember this one?
Yeah, I don't.
I beeped out. Let's just got to tell my daughter where to go, and then I'll be right back. Hello, Jerry White here.
Still with us.
Hello?
You're still with us.
It's you. Hello, guys. All right. We're good. Just hang
we're
on
good
for
to go.
A minute.
Rope course.
All right, on the ropes course, in the confidence course, there were a lot of things that team did together. There were 8 people. He started up 8. He wanted them to try to achieve a common goal. And in the effort to try to do the common goal, there was one particular task or feat to be done on that ropes course. And that was, everybody had to get over a 12-foot wall with no handles on it. And the deal was,
are you there?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. I bumped the wrong button. But it was try to get everybody over the wall. And they had 8 people. It was not, as many things go, to get the first most athletic person over the wall. It was to get, and it wasn't to get half of them or two-thirds, and you didn't get credit for however many you got over in a given amount of time. The only score that counted was getting everybody over the wall. Can you imagine with a flat wall with no hand or foothold, 12 feet high, 12 feet wide, what would happen when you get to the last most non-athletic person? You're going to have to come up with a way to get over the wall. They eventually did, figured it out, but it took them hours and hours and hours to do it. So it set the precedent that this team, as we get started, their goal became 8 diamonds within 2 years. Everybody goes diamonds. And then they had to figure out and prioritize their pecking order. Who is the most logical that we can put some pressure behind and get them to run so that we all believe? Now, everybody's going to start doing your own thing, but once in a while, we're going to call up and say, Goethe over here, taking her run to get to silver and or to gold or to platinum or to diamond. And what we need to do is to rally up. When they rallied up, she would get all of her team together and say, Here's the deal. 2 weeks from Friday, we're going to have 7 people fly in from around the country, and they will be at our disposal to make this happen in a big way. So whatever meetings you can put together, those 7 people will be available to make it happen. Do you see how the group synergy works? And what it would be like to be pulled up into that sort of a vortex?
Yeah.
That's partly how you create urgency as well. Is this just everybody has to agree on the value of it?
Okay.
Easy, huh?
Oh, easy.
So, Deb, you're at a very critical crossroads in your distributorship. You are moving from silver to gold. And silver to gold is the second most difficult jump there is in Nikan. Now, I would almost say it's the most difficult.
No, I don't think I'm silver yet.
You're not?
Oh.
Oh. Well, you haven't got to the difficult one. This is easy. Let's get it done.
Oh, okay.
But can you see how if you start orienting each of those 3 groups to start working toward their silver and filling in their loops, they could see the numbers and get her done?
Yeah.
Let me make it one more step. Hey, remember when you were over in Montana? You remember Morten Sissel from Morten and Sissel
yes.
from
yes.
the Norway?
Wonderful.
You remember what number he threw up there as to the number of people you want to sponsor?
I don't remember.
15.
It was 15.
Okay.
And so basically what he'll do is when a brand new person starts, he says, let's not get this confused, we'll sit down, he says, you want to sponsor 15 people because out of the 15, somewhere in that 15 people that you sponsor, everybody will get in and buy some products, but somewhere in that 15 people you sponsor are the 3 silvers that will take you gold. You'll have no idea which 3 they are. So if you've got, how many total sponsored now?
I have 9 first line.
Okay. So can you see how in the next, if you really had a very specific goal that in August, between now and the end of August, if you were to sponsor the next 6 to fill out your 15, and you kept them together, so they knew who each other was.
Okay.
And the 3 you currently have in saw you do that, would there be momentum?
Yeah, I can see that.
And so at first these things, you got to still continue to hit it hard because what usually happens is people will get a good roll going, then they take their foot off of the pedal. Oh, you know, it should go now. I got my 3 people.
Yeah.
And it slows down the momentum too much, and you got to start cranking and pedaling it back up again. So I think, would it be helpful to say, just because it's nothing else to play the game and to prove that it can be done, between now and August 31st, let's get 6.
Yeah, that's kind of been the direction I thought I needed to lean.
And then you could set a day and time for people to meet on a call.
Okay.
And say,
see who shows up.
Yeah, see who shows up and engage them.
Okay.
And only brag on the things that are working good. And the
and
people
do
who
I,
are...
Do I sign up for one of the conference call lines? Is that what I do?
Yeah, you can do that. And then there are actually now, I'm going to be soon switching over because there are free conference call lines now.
Okay. And I could access those how?
Freeconferencecall.com.
I think it is freeconferencecall.com, and you just go in there and it'll set you right up. That's what it was.
Okay.
And then just set that up, and everybody's been raving about them. I've been paying $60 a month for mine. Why not go to freeconferencecall.com? Same
yep.
services. And then set one of those babies up, meet with who you meet, and I would do this, it's just the same as starting your own wellness preview. If nobody shows up but you, start setting a cycle anyway.
Okay.
And say, here's who's new this week, Here's some new NECAN news this week. Here's what's on the calendar. Thanks for showing up, everybody. See you next week.
Got it. Yeah, I'm going to start doing that.
Cool. Well, it was a good call. We did something very different than we normally do. But,
thanks, Gary.
Let's get Deb. Sometime this week, if you find that your team, the two that should be on this call, are really having focus issues.
Okay.
Let's get together, you and me and them.
Okay.
And talk about kind of some of the stuff we talked about tonight.
I'll try to do that within the next 2 days. We're leaving Thursday.
Okay, sounds groovy.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Good night, all.
Good night, Jerry. Thanks so much.